A lot of things are coming back this fall. Another highly anticipated return, the Wisconsin Life TV series on PBS Wisconsin. Host Angela Fitzgerald travels all over the Badger State, exploring places she's never been before and highlighting interesting Wisconsinites and their passions. The eighth season of the series kicks off tomorrow night, and to learn a little more about what we can expect and how the team overcame some pandemic-related challenges to produce the show, we caught up with Angela Fitzgerald and the series producer, Kelly Saran. Angela, can you give us a taste of some of the places you made it in putting together this season of Wisconsin Life?
Sure. Well, as we all know, COVID has impacted our lives in a number of different ways. And so shooting for this season has been no exception to that. And so we were had to be pretty creative in terms of shoots for this season to accommodate the pandemic conditions. So we did a lot of shoots outside just because that felt safer. Of course, once conditions were safe to shoot at all. And so our very first shoot was at Granite Peak Ski Hill. That was the only shoot that we were able to do pre-COVID. So you'll see more of the normal interactions that we were accustomed to having, not having masks, all that sort of thing, where I was able to go skiing, which was the first ski experience I have had in years. It was a little bit scary, but it was fun to be back out there and skiing and experiencing a location in Wisconsin that I had not yet before. And so following that shoot, everything else had to, again, have COVID accommodations in place. And so we went to a couple of different state parks, Yellowstone Lake State Park, Governor Dodge State Park. We did some interesting things at Yellowstone Lake State Park in terms of recognizing the accommodations needed for people who might have access challenges. And so uplifting Accessibility Wisconsin, which is an awesome nonprofit that provides at no cost to individuals wheelchairs that allow them to actually experience trails and hiking. So we had a great time this season. Again, a lot of flexibility and shifting things around, but I'm super proud of what the team and I were able to execute and hopefully viewers are able to enjoy.
Well, let's get some taste of the final product. Kelly, can you set up our first clip here on Miss Black USA?
Yeah, so this piece is actually about Takima Ballantyne, and she won Miss Black USA in 2019. And we kind of follow her as she tries to work to uplift her her experiences and her voice to help others, especially around children. So this is a clip from this piece of Takima.
I think it means a lot to young girls in Wisconsin to see a brown person in a crown, but also who has determination and goals.
Good morning.
For girls to see that I'm in nursing school. That's a profession that's all about caring for another person, well-being of the community, your society, because we have to lean on each other. Like, nobody lives in the society alone.
I gotta say, Angela, I'm a little envious in many ways, not in the sense that I didn't, you know, break any legs while skiing or anything, which I probably would have, but I'm envious. I get to meet cool people, but I do it all from the studio. What is it like getting out and meeting people in the midst of their story and the places they work or seeing the cool places themselves?
I really appreciate it, which feels surprising for me to say, because I do feel like I'm a naturally introverted person. But being able to connect with people in settings that they truly enjoy and they have a passion about and that they're able to share with the rest of us about, I think is great. And that comes through when we're having these conversations. And for a lot of them, it's very natural and organic because of how strongly they feel about the settings in which they're speaking of. So it just has a flow to it. So it makes it easier for me. It makes it easy for them. And hopefully others are hearing about something that they can then connect to at some later point in time.
And Kelly, can you talk about how you go seeking out these stories, these interesting people and places and events around the state?
Yeah, so we work with a group of producers who kind of travel around the state. We keep our eye on local papers. We kind of keep an eye on the buzz in communities to try to find individuals that kind of have a special story to tell. And everybody always asks me, like, do you run out of stories to tell in Wisconsin? And it amazes me. We don't. Like, there are people that we find all over the place, like, doing interesting, really creative things, like, really passionate about it. There's a piece we feature this season is a woman in Madison who has glued rubber ducks onto her car just to bring a smile to people's face. There's a project working with incarcerated people to bring their art and display it. So it's amazing that we can continue to find people. And we send our producers out. They spend quality time with people, and we come back and we try to share their stories to the best of our ability.
Well, here's one, Kelly, that you discovered that I love. I'm a musician, and I am obsessed with the instrument, the theremin. I've never played one myself. It's that eerie motion picture sound. You've got a clip for us from the series on a Wisconsin theremin repair person.
Yeah, and he actually builds theremins. Okay. His name is Charles Collins. Yep, and it's like one of those things that, wow, you can make a life, you know, doing this is pretty incredible. And I picked this piece just to kind of entice people. Like, you can hear the sound, but I really want you to watch the show to see how he plays it, because it's quite unique.
I started fixing musical instruments, amplifiers, and stereo equipment 35 years ago for a local store. That had to go somewhere. My name's Charles Collins, and I build theremins. The theremin is a musical instrument that you can play without touching it. You don't find the theremin finds you.
Angela, I had no idea this was going on here in Wisconsin. How cool is it to just get to be in the middle of these stories that probably people didn't even know, maybe even about their own neighbor?
Exactly. And that's some of the feedback that we've gotten from the show, is that there are people who have been born and raised in Wisconsin, their families are from Wisconsin, and there are things that we're sharing that they're learning for the first time. So I was assuming that, being a new Wisconsiner myself, relatively, that these are things that, oh, others know about, but we're all learning some of these things together for the very first time.
Kelly, Angela mentioned earlier the changes that had to happen because of COVID, the extra precautions, it maybe skewed things in, you know, more outside type directions. How do you feel at this achievement? It's got to always be a big deal when a new season comes together. I imagine more so after this last year.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, we had to keep the distance. We had to shoot mostly everything outside. There's a few pieces that were pre-COVID, as we talked about earlier. But it was just nice for us when our production actually opened up at the station and we got to meet people again. We had to stay 6 feet apart and change a little bit how we did things. But it was just incredible to speak to people. They're people who work didn't stop. We highlight some of that in this piece. There's a farmer who really wanted to uplift people's spirits. So he's planted something like 2 million sunflowers in a cornfield just to make people smile during the pandemic. So there are people doing that work. And it was just amazing for us when we were able to get out and actually meet them. And their lives continue just like ours. And we try to tell that this season as well.
That was Kelly Saran, series producer for Wisconsin Life, and host Angela Fitzgerald. We talked to them earlier this week about the 8th season of Wisconsin Life, the TV series, which kicks off tomorrow night at 7. Right now it's time for WPR's version of Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about community.
Where we live and the relationships we nurture have a big impact on our lives. Writer Araceli Esparza shares a poem about the adventures and connections made in your neighborhood.
Las Chicas y Chicos de Blossom Street by Araceli Esparza. Door propped open with tree sticks, hanging out on Blossom Street with one-step stoops. Welcome to my street. I'm Luz, Luz Maria if you're formal. Our days are filled with family news, pretending and playing, and tiny jumps. The day goes by and we dash from one playtime to the next. Chicas y chicos are girl kids and boy kids and everyone in between. This is us. We're like little picture moments at sunset. I live with my grandma, mi little sister Anna, a blind duck, and my tío. I like to hydrogarden and I'm big on organic compost. They call me mija. Izzy, my best friend, is learning to do perfect cartwheels. And like the sunshine, she almost pokes my eye. Next door, stuck in their room with Wi-Fi, clicking a keyboard and swishing a finger pad, Junior doesn't fix mofles, he fixes code, night until day. Upstairs lives the twins, Paco y Pedro. Free time is dress-up time, and that's when Pedro wears pink. He banana smiles and drinks atole. Paco prefers green tacos and ham. When she wants to be like every boy neighbor, Anna plays the ultimate games and double dares us to race. She wins most of the time. With his empty cupboards, half-filled plates, our neighbor, Luis, comes over for grandma's tacos de jamón y pan. But on Sundays, he puts ketchup on his tamale. best dressed with shiny white shoes and tapping toes, Betta has two puppies who swing her over puddles and carry her to pick the blooming lilacs across the street. Con los vecinos, our neighbors, we learn to ride our bikes in the parking lot. Together we have a cookout and be like family. None of us are related, still we talk, argue, and laugh like familia. Okay, let's race, Betta says, and her dress flutters against the wind. Anna, with holy toe shoes, makes up for time jumping over onion beds, while Mago speeds up and stops short at the corner. Her arms are ready for the Olympics. No one told her she couldn't walk. They told her she could fly. My friend Izzy gets stuck on Saturday morning meetings at the local Centro Comunitario, a stand-up-for-your-rights mommy equals tag-along girl kid. When she comes home, Izzy skips upstairs, finds her friends to compare drawings on tablets. The twins' place is always busy with parties, viernes de quinceañera, sábados de cumpleaños, y domingos de virgencita. Paco y Pedro wonder when all the cheek pinching will ever end. Four cheeks aren't enough. In the next building over, Juan, his three brothers and one sister, sleep tight as pea pods in one room they call theirs. In their dreams, they can be anyone. He asks me, when will the beans come up? Soon, very soon, I show him. Through the city's dusty roads, fresh air smells break through. Against the orange sunset, I step off my tío's troca and I am home. I smile at my garden. For me, all of them are my friends. We have aventuras, vidas, y laughter. Somos los de Blossom Street. We are from Blossom Street.
That was writer Araceli Esparza. PBS Wisconsin has created animation for her poem, Las Chicas y Chicos de Blossom Street. Head over to wisconsinlife.org to see it come to life. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
Coming up, we'll find out who can and can't benefit from shopping at big warehouse stores. That's next here on Central Time.